Hello and welcome to Spiritual Table Talk. Today's episode is called Dear Daddy. We're talking about absent fathers, fathers in general, what their influence creates or doesn't. And as always, you can go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm, or your favorite podcast app. You can donate to our oil fund at Cash App, $HectorSalva, or via PayPal, help@mysticalwork.com. Before we get into the episode, we looked at the stats for the year this year, and we want to thank all of you guys for all of your support. We got tons of good reportings, tons of good stats, hearing that you guys really are enjoying the podcast. Love when you guys send us questions, topics, et cetera, et cetera. We absolutely adore that. So it's me, Papa Hector, Ty, David, Mambo G, Care Bear, Mambo Lily, and Ali Al over here on the ones and twos. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and commence.
So we were talking about when you have an absent parent or like an absent father specifically in this episode. Maybe we'll do another episode about absent mothers. Or like a parent figure that comes in and out of your life, or maybe they're there but they're not there emotionally, and what void does that create? And then kind of spiritually, what are people doing to try and fill the void?
I want to start. It gives you problems with authority, because depending on your relationship to that figure, I'm speaking for mine here, it makes you suspect that anybody who is in a position of authority over you is up to all kinds. So whenever somebody does express authority towards you, you just assume they're a fucker and move from there, because you have no experience of authority that isn't tied to a less than ethical experience of that person.
I can relate to that on the respect front, and then sort of how it paints your picture of that entire gender. If you had a father that wasn't respectable. I have nothing to say right now.
I don't know. I think that an absent father, it kind of creates like a, for lack of a better word, like a void when it comes to like all of the masculine traits, where like the only real influence that you've had, for example, with an absent father could be like the more feminine influence and stuff like that. So as you grow up, you may find it hard to step into more masculine roles, like, you know, taking authority, ambition, you know, doing all the things that are traditionally masculine. So I feel like, especially relating to our spiritual work, a lot of people that have had absent fathers, they find father energy or masculinity that they have missed all their life in, like, all our masculine spirits and stuff like that, which is why, you know, all the marriages and different things like that, I guess they help with that void.
I'm just wondering what even, like, I know that there's the general idea of what is a father, what's a man, like, so where there's that, but then what is, like, the true father, like, because they always say, like, in our society, right, they're like, the father needs to be present. More oftentimes, it's better if the father is with the mother in the same house. The father is supposed to be like this authoritative figure. There's all these like guidelines as to what a father is. I think that's what causes a lot of the issues people have, is because you have like this fantasy of what a father is supposed to be.
That's really interesting,
because they're a human too. Like, just like we've talked about mothers before, where all like mothers and women, they're like constantly being pressured to be what is considered a woman or a mother. It's kind of like similar.
Yeah, it's really interesting too, because it's young. Like, there's not that long ago, maybe 3,000 years ago, it was common for women to have compounds, and they would have their house, and they'd have different sexual partners, and it didn't matter who the father was, and the village would raise the children as if everybody was everybody's. And it was actually really good for the community because everyone took care of each other as if they were their own. So, like, it's so true what you're saying. Like, this concept is actually created.
Yeah, because that's what it seems.
So, in alignment with kind of what you just mentioned about thousands of years ago, that's part of the primary issue, is that that's why before we ran by the matriarch's last name, right? Mm-hmm. We used to run with a woman's last name instead of a father's last name, sometimes because we didn't know who our father was. And in a lot of those cultures, however, because they were community-based, then there was also a men's community where when that boy would come of age, would get taken into that community to be able to learn these things that David's mentioning about the positive role of a man, right? Or masculine traits, etc. They would be taken into that community, usually at around puberty, and they would kind of be whisked away from the other community in order to really train, and wouldn't be brought back to the other community until many years later. So basically they were able to integrate what they had learned. And even though they were coming back to the community, they weren't like marrying up. So that was one of the things when we mentioned this episode, or when we mentioned this topic for an episode, I was thinking to myself, like, in pagan times, right, in pre-Christian times, most communities didn't have a marriage, an idea, the same idea of marriage or relationship that we have. And while there were such things as like pagan marriages, it was more like a partnership as far as like who can you work with for the rest of your life or forever, however long, where it's in balance and it helps each other. However, women were free to have other sexual partners and men were free to have other sexual partners. It was just basically, we know that at the end of the day, like, we're working in this household together. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a way more balanced way to be. Why? Because going back to biology, actually, biologically, right, speaking, men are have a biological drive to spread their seed as far and wide as possible. So, and have as many children as possible, actually, to leave something, a legacy behind or whatever. So that's more realistic when you put this institution of this is the way it should be and this is the way marriage should be. What happens is now you have such a topic such as absent fathers, when really fathers weren't really meant to be present to begin with. They weren't meant to be present 24/7 there for the kid or anything else. That was the ancient way, was, you know, women, a community of women, took care of the community of women throughout the pregnancy and everything. And in a lot of these cultures, however, the men did provide to the community as well as for themselves. So, like, there was still some of what we expect, but in such a different way.
Right.
Well, and not just biologically to spread the seed, but biologically to collect as much sperm as possible for the fittest next generation.
Exactly.
It's like, biologically, who's going to win out? What do you call that?
Evolution.
Yeah,
evolution. Yeah.
I am thinking about these, like, expectations, too, because, like, I mean, like, sometimes it's like, have people really gone through, like, what it really takes to do all those things that people require?
No, and people, like, don't go through that.
Yeah, but, like, there's a lot to all of that. Mm. And, like, is it even a realistic expectation to, like, I'm going to use the word mortal, but, like, to expect, like, mortals to have the capacity to do all that? Because, like,
I don't think it's a realistic expectation. I think some people can do it.
Yeah. Right.
Not everyone can do it. And when we have a blanket expectation upon a whole group of people, which, like, I often say, like, really there's two races. It's like men and women, right? Because men and women often think they speak the same language and often aren't. So when we put a whole huge expectation upon all women, we're all men, we're all mothers, we're all fathers mm-hmm. to be this or this or that, what we're really trying to do is, like, it's a really high level of trying to control the authenticity of who someone is.
Yeah,
and that's a big problem. A lot of people come to me and they're like, they have a problem, like, I don't know how to be authentic. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to be authentic because you have all these other ideas
mm-hmm.
of other people
mm-hmm.
that have been given to you as expectations and you have signed up for it,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. And your authentic self doesn't want to do A, B, or C, but you in society are like, I have to do A, B, and C because that's what's expected of me. So
it's interesting because my dad is a Rolling Stone. Like, in his nature, he should be like a cowboy. He should be absent. That's actually the best expression of his spirit. But because of the pressures, he would like follow his spirit and then like follow the pressure of society to be present and then follow his spirit and come back. And it, like, you know, and so
I think that's more damaging.
It's more damaging.
Yeah.
And that's so...
And you can't give to anybody else because you're, like, in that...
Well, it's damaging on the nervous system of the child because, well, it's... What do I want to say? I'm getting ahead of myself because Ty and I were discussing, is it worse to have an absent father or a toxic mother? And so, like, that's where, at least in my case, it would have been damaging enough if the father was in and out. But then the mother made it my fault.
But I kind of see what you're saying, yeah. too, right? With the whole, like, it's more damaging, like, if for, like, the father to be, like, stuck in a situation. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
No,
like,
it's damaging if he's stuck in a situation. It's also damaging if he's in and out.
Yeah.
Because the child can internalize it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of who made them do that.
Yeah. Right,
it makes
They're going to think, it's because of me. It doesn't even matter. Children are built that it's always because of them.
Right.
So therefore, right. Daddy's not here because of me. Yeah. Daddy is here because of me. Daddy doesn't love me because he's not here, and he's not here because of me, etc. So that's one. The other part where they're stuck in that scenario is damaging because oftentimes when they're stuck in that scenario, again, since they're not able to be themselves,
mm-hmm.
then kind of like, as I always say, everything comes out in your pores.
Yep.
So now you might be angry or frustrated, et cetera, because yes. you feel stuck in your scenario. And so that starts coming out in your pores. And now the kid says, Daddy's angry because of me. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's not because of you. It's maybe because he's stuck according to societal regulations.
He's sad. He can't even... And like we talked
and
about
with you all the time.
Like, yeah, and two, we talked about this because we did like the struggles that women face, and we did the struggles that men face, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
So this podcast, if you haven't listened to that, you got to go back and listen to that because this intertwines pretty perfectly. Mm-hmm. So like we won't have to go too in depth as to like
all of those things.
The roles and mm-hmm. things that society puts on men and women. But yeah, that's where you got a question, because I think everybody wants to, again, like, get rid of the responsibility, too, of, like, you know, I have my own issues.
But the thing about it is, even if the father and mother are present,
yeah,
they're still going to be blamed for everything.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. They're going to be blamed for everything.
Yeah.
But one thing that a child cannot see is that every day when he gets up at 4 in the morning and goes to work till 7 o'clock at night, he's not doing that for him. A solitary man does not need a huge income.
Nope.
Is able to live off of very little.
Yeah.
At one time, I lived off of less than $6,000 a year. Okay? I was able to, like... So a man without kids or a wife or taking care of a household doesn't need to kill themselves working.
Right.
Okay?
So the patriarchy was damaging.
Yeah, all the way around.
Patriarchy, and it's damaging to self and men, you know.
To men as well,
yeah.
But sometimes they can't see it.
Right.
We talk about sometimes how, what do we call it? Like the, I can't remember right now. You can remind me. But when you've struggled early in life and it makes you stronger later.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a term. We call it like the darkness of the, anyways. But I think that also when a father has to be a role that he doesn't necessarily want to be, it sets in the mind of the children, okay, well then when I look for a partner, these are my expectations, like provider, et cetera, et cetera. And it's almost like getting spoiled, because in reality, spiritually, like big picture, if they were just accustomed to, well, I didn't have that provider figure. I learned to make do on my own, for instance. Like, you're not necessarily going to go seek that out in a partner.
Exactly, exactly. But it kind of can mess it up either way, right? Because the way, like, so then what happens is, for those people who think that their role is supposed to be a provider, then they can become weak sauce when they find a woman who doesn't need providing for. Because then they think to themselves, what value am I bringing to the table? Right? And so then...
There's the roles again.
Yeah. And so then again, it becomes like, oh, since I can't provide because this person can provide for themselves, they become insecure. And then project those insecurities out onto their partners. Right? So, like, either way. And another thing is, even... And the thing about it is, like, let's say people, when they have stepfathers. A stepfather, a lot of times we think of as, like, a stand-in. And you could have the best stepfather in the world. Yeah. But it's not going to work for the child, ever. Because children are, like, they're stuck on that particular individual. So you could have had, like, the best step-parent in the world. But they're still going to come out with daddy issues. Simply because it wasn't that particular individual.
And they can't, like, get it past, like, because I think that's just something, too, like, society puts on you, right? Because it's so, I think it's taught pretty young.
So, like, for me, for example, I was raised mainly by my grandfather and my grandmother, right? Me, I could value my grandfather way more than I could value my father. And even if my father had provided to me, which he didn't, but had he provided to me and my grandfather also provided to me, I still would value my grandfather's provisions more.
Why?
Because my grandfather doesn't have to.
Right.
Nowhere in the rule book, not even amongst the societal rule book, does he have to.
He chose. He didn't do it out of obligation.
No, obligation.
So it was true.
It was true. Yeah. So he chose. Whereas a father can be providing to you out of a sense of obligation rather than out of a sense of love. He chose. So, like, when my grandfather, I'll give you an example, like, I went to the park with my father, I went to the park with my grandfather. Whose park time did I personally, and it's just because of how I was built, I valued my grandfather's time more. Because not only did he chose to do it, not only does he not have to do it, but here's a man like 70 plus out here running around with a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old all over a park and doing all kinds of things. That, again, at that age, most people are ready to just, like, watch TV and snore on the couch. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, I personally always valued... Now, I grew up with my cousin as if my cousin was my brother. Now, for him, it was the opposite. Even though my grandfather provided all those same things, he couldn't value what my grandfather provided because he was so stuck on the fact that his father did not provide. And he feeling like it should be coming from this person.
So rather than a reflection of, like, what he didn't have.
Exactly. Right? So he couldn't value it more. So naturally, when the father did any little thing for him, it was like, oh my God, woohoo, like, hallelujah. It was a huge celebration. Whereas my grandfather was providing you food, shelter, warmth, heating oil, and everything else, okay? And everything else. But you couldn't value that, right? Because you're stuck on, like, this should be coming from my father. So whenever your father did the slightest thing, it was as if some huge miracle had fallen from the sky. And so you valued it way more than what you were constantly being given, you know?
And some people just can't do stuff.
No, some people can't.
Yeah.
And I think it's better for a man to say, like, I'm not going to be a good father. I know who I am. I know myself well enough that I can't be a good father and I can't be stable. And I know myself enough that I am going to be a type of person to be in and out. So I'm just going to choose to be out. Right? Because at least that way the child can imagine how great the father would be. And that's the way of it. Right? So,
because that's naturally going to happen. Always.
No, because you don't have anything to your mother. If your mother raised you without your father, you have a million and one things to hold against her. Yeah. But your father wasn't there, so you only have he wasn't there to hold against
Instead
him.
Instead of he's there. Oh, and
he
all
beat me. He hit me. He told me this. He told me
that's
that.
More shit.
You have all that shit to hold against your mother. But what you don't take into account was your mother didn't abandon your ass.
Yeah.
Your mother was the bitch that was there. She was the bitch that was working, that was making sure you had everything that you needed to have. But in your mind, your father's going to be like, why? Simply because you have less negative stories to tell about your father. Okay? But your mother had to be your mother, and she had to be your father. So she gets, if you have a single mother, she gets a double whammy. She gets all the things you would blame on your father, you're going to blame on her. All the things you blame her as being a mother, you're going to blame on her. But what you didn't take into account was no matter what, she was there. She didn't leave you.
Exactly.
She put up with you. She had to take care of you 24/7 by herself. She, when she was sick, she had to go to work because who else is going to pay the bills? She had to make, when suddenly something happened and you got sick at school, she had to leave work to go pick your dumb ass up and lose work and then stress out for the rest of the month as to how she was going to provide for you.
And didn't do a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah. Like, she didn't go out clubbing and fuck it. And,
or developing herself.
Or developing herself because she was there busy taking care of you.
These are all the things that, like, naturally all of us were children at one point. So, and, but still, there's some of us who, like, a lot of us carry all of this shit until the death, basically. Well, and it's their whole, I don't think even till late, like, I don't think anybody realizes it, actually. I think this is, like,
a lot of people don't. This is, but there's a good portion of people that do.
Yeah. Naturally. But I would say most people, especially, like, in my, I would say definitely with the younger generation, would say, but...
Is it common, like, we use the spirits a lot, too, right? Because they're, like, pure currents of, like, energetics for, like, father figures or, you know, like, we have our father spirits and, like, is that, like, a common part of our work that most people might go through is where you're... healing that relationship.
And some people have certain healing that they have to do with their spirits because of whatever damage they have. So this kind of intertwines with what you're talking about earlier. Whatever damage they have towards the masculine force or towards the father. And so I've had people who have been like, you know, it's hard for me to connect with that force. And then it takes them actually some process that they have to go through in order to make that connection.
Because you think maybe, for instance, hypothetically, that spirit will abandon you because you project.
Exactly. And there's even cases where sometimes a person has an easier relationship with the father spirit because their father was absent. So they've been hungering for that relationship. And so when they have that spiritual relationship, that hunger starts to get satisfied, and then they have a difficulty connecting with their mother.
Spirit or mother?
Either one or
both.
But like something, nothing could have filled that except for like spirit. Like it's almost like design perfect, right?
Yeah, nothing can fill it.
Yeah.
Nothing else can fill it. That's why, like what Alex was saying, like that's why you have like 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds still dealing with daddy issues, right? Because you need something bigger than a mortal human man or woman to be able to like fill that gap for you and teach you about what that means for that masculine or that feminine to be in balance.
How common is it that people project
that void onto their madrino or padrino, madrina.
It's common. It's common. But I will also say this. There are also certain madrinas and padrinos that encourage it. Okay. And they use it. They use it. And some of them, like, I'll give you an example. I knew a mambo in down south. And she had a lot of gay male initiates. What I would see all the time was, oh, I see you. You hooked into their mother wound. You hooked into that mother wound where you're that perfect, accepting, loving mother, da-da-da-da-da, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But what they didn't know about her, that I knew very much about her, was that she hated gay men. But yeah. But it was the type, they were the ones who ended up naturally attracted to her.
So?
And so she hooked into their mother wound. And she would use that, and she would also play on them to either be more masculine or more feminine, depending on her needs at the time.
So she had wounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh. She had deep mother
and father. That's how deep this shit gets. Like, luckily, we have so many podcasts on different topics, but, like, it gets, like, deep into the layers as to, like, how all this shit ends up playing out.
Close work. But that's why it's so important to find somebody who, because there's so many calls that, like, you make as a hungan or mambo to keep it clean and clear when people don't, like, they have a hard time listening to you, following instructions anyway. And then you're working close and you're, like, making calls like that all the time that, like, people don't know that sometimes it's in their best interest. Well, like, they're not going to see all that stuff, too, that...
They can't yet see that far. Yeah. So that does happen. So there's times where the people project that situation. But what I just wanted to mention is there are certain priests that use that, encourage that, hook into that, etc. And... But there are plenty of times as well where that person carrying that wound with themselves puts that person in that position. Here's the thing, however. I've said this before with a few other mambos and hungans. You can't choose that I'm going to be your father when you want me to and just a regular old priest when you want me to. Because... Meaning, they will want you to play the father role when it's convenient and want you to play a friend or just a random priest role when it's convenient, right? Because, you know, that is part of, like, what people will do with their priests or priestess is, like, I'm gonna, now you're, like, filling in that mother role. But when you snap out on that bitch like a mother would, then all of a sudden it's like, who is you snapping out at me? Yeah, well, like, you put me in that position. You put me in that role. I played the role for you, and still you're not happy, right? And then you want to be upset, right? I'll give you an example. Like me, like, all my kids know, since they were young, the way that I talk. I cuss a lot. I'm not cussing at you. You know? I'm not cussing at you, but I use a lot of curse words, right? Now, a grown person, on the other hand, my kids have no issue with it, but a grown person, certain grown people, will have an issue with, let's say, my language, me cussing so much. Do you understand? That has no bearing. In fact, they say, like, the more intelligent you are, the more you curse. Yeah, it's a scientific fact. But if you cuss at an adult and you're cussing in your vernacular, they can easily take that on and be like, you're cussing at me.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I had one time this random lady come up to me. I was down south. And she was like, you shouldn't be cussing so much, et cetera, et cetera. And I was, and I turned around and I was like, you should have another baby so you could tell them what the fuck to do. You don't know me.
Okay, get the fuck away from me. Okay? And that's another thing with fathers and mothers, teachers as well, at times, they can be a little bit like mini dictators. Mm-hmm.
So to piggyback off of what you said earlier, the mom didn't leave you. However, how would you differentiate the daddy issue versus having a toxic mom? So the mom did stay around, providing all the materials, make sure you ate, but they were emotionally, mentally unavailable or abusive.
Toxic.
Yeah, very toxic.
Okay. The way I would see that is exactly what it is. Like, I appreciate you for everything that you've given to me. I acknowledge that. However, I can also acknowledge that even though you gave me everything, you're a toxic bitch. And it's not good for me to be around you. I've gotten through the portion where, like, I'm now an adult. I no longer need you. I no longer need to be around you. So that actually, I can resolve all that toxicity you tried to implant in me. All that toxicity, now I got to turn around and resolve. I appreciate you stayed. I appreciate you took care of me. And if it came to one or the other, if it could be like, do you either have a toxic mother or an absent father? I would say you're better off with the absent father. Because the toxic mother is going to take upon you already your expectations and things like that, which are upon your absent father. Now you have actual case examples and life experiences of that person injecting their toxicity to you. So it's a lot more work to work through having a toxic mother necessarily than if you had a good mother and an absent father.
Right. However, how would you differentiate, I guess, throughout the work, which issues you have? For example, you can have abandonment issues because your mother's emotionally unavailable. Mm-hmm. However, your father's not there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to appear like you have daddy issues, but you don't. You have mommy issues. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, so sometimes it's not really, like you said earlier, I don't know if your mother did it, but you said the mother can blame the child. You know, so realistically, it's not a daddy issue to me. Mm-hmm. It's a mother issue. Like, my mom is toxic as hell, but she never spoke ill of my father, really. You know, she let us form our own opinion. So with that, I was just mad that he left me with the toxicity.
But naturally, like you were saying, understand? Weren't you saying naturally earlier, though, like, no matter if you have your father there, your mother not there, father there. Either or, in any situation, you're going to blame both. You're going to have issues via...
To some degree with each one.
And even if they were there, it sounds like you'll...
You're still going to have issues with them.
With them.
Why? Because a child's idea of what a parent is supposed to be is some form of perfection to whatever standard that child thinks. And even to the point where, let's say a person has multiple children, right? Let's say I have 4 kids. And children will even be upset with you when you don't punish one of the other siblings. Children, that becomes an issue. Or when you punish them unjustly. And if you have that many kids, okay, and 3 kids are saying that person did it, you don't have time here to sit here and figure all that shit out. Yeah. Okay, and so sometimes you may punish the wrong person. And then that person's going to blame you for punishing them incorrectly versus punishing the right person. Or they'll be upset that I did X and got punished, but other sibling did X and didn't get punished. So there's all these dynamics. And at the end of the day, I don't think that there's going to be too many children in the world that could go without having... You're going to have mother and father issues, like Gina said. It's kind of designed that way right from the beginning in order for it to be part of what you work through. Mm-hmm. What you got going on in there, Carrie?
I'm cold. So I'm breathing.
Yeah, so cash symbol...
we set fire stuff in the basement here to keep warm.
Now we've got this Japanese table going with the covers and the one little heater.
If we put a fire under the table, that would
but that's a little bit
Yeah, on the dangerous side. But, a little bit dangerous side.
But we are cold.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just something we started this with is inspiring me. Just as a rhetorical question, like, what would society look like if everyone was just allowed to be themselves? Really, who they truly are. Could society function? What would it look like? It's just a rhetorical.
Yeah.
I mean, do you care for the pandemic? Well, as soon as everyone started healing, everyone was like, no, like, they shut it down.
I mean, there are people who enjoy...
They don't like spirit existing on this plane.
Mm-hmm. It'd be different.
Well, no, it's like... Sorry, I don't... Mm-hmm. Just, I think there's something there, G. It's like, because the shift over to patriarchy had to do with land ownership. It was actually about money. Like, that's why you had to have a family unit, because you had to know who your kids were. And the landowners happened to be men. Like, it just happened that way. So, you know, I think it made me think of something like, where, you know, these roles, then, like, when it comes to dating or relationships later in life, you know, there's always dowries, and there was always, like, it's property, and people being, and, yeah, individuals being in a society or in a community because of their value instead of their spirit, instead of, you know.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to say there are always...
I wasn't trying to think that loud.
Well, you started, wow. So.
Yeah.
No, there. In terms of, well, okay, back to the previous comment, I was going to say it's not that people being themselves wouldn't let a society function in the sense that society is, I'm going to take a philosophical definition and say a social agreement that we should probably take care of each other or that we should contribute to one another. And I think that tendency is not harmed in the least by people being themselves. It doesn't lend itself to mechanization, however, and I think that's where a lot of our issues are. And I say this as somebody who works in automating things.
That's what I meant, like cogging the machine. We become...
Yeah, it wouldn't work in that sense of like what society considers advancement.
Yeah.
Which is like what she's saying with like
yeah.
the automation, the like move on to the next technology, moving things forward.
Resource allocation. Mm-hmm. Like
mm-hmm. Right, but then it will go back to our old podcast that we did on
was that money?
No, evil, the technology being evil, or I don't remember.
Yeah, we talked about that was the demon podcast.
The demon of technology, yeah.
But it all kind of just makes me like it, yeah, wonder like
because
obviously we
AI,
can't
like the automation of AI.
As human, like we can't really fully wrap your head around everything and how it works, but it's obviously a system how God has it situated. It's like, you know.
Well, I think that if everyone was allowed to be themselves, societally, we wouldn't function, and I wouldn't get heating oil. because part of like the body's natural system is to preserve energy,
right.
aka laziness. So, if the problem is if we were all to be ourselves, most people wouldn't actually be being themselves. They would be being their egoic self rather than their self. Their true self wouldn't mind contributing to the whole.
Right.
When you're an egoic self, however, you just care about taking care of you. Yeah. And so I think that it would take like a huge shift in consciousness for billions of people in order for such a society to be able to function in a way that I don't know, that we're kind of accustomed to in things functioning in a way that can bring about advancement.
Right. Yeah, because those who weren't with the egoic self, they're with the true self, they would still, like, you know, want the, yeah.
They still want to, they want to serve their purpose. They,
yeah.
So if their purpose was to be an electrician,
then
whether or not they had to get paid for it, they want to be a damn electrician. So that's what gives them force. That's, yeah. They want to serve that purpose. They want to do that. And so
it would it would be natural. It wouldn't be, like you said, like the egoic self where it's like.
And it, yeah, and they're doing, they're in that fulfilling of their own purpose. They themselves are being fulfilled.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't necessarily need money.
Money, no.
To fulfill them. But that would require that.
A lot of, like you said.
Everybody had a clear purpose and a clear sense of self and a passion for whatever they have.
Yeah.
And to be able to move that forward.
Yeah.
You don't think with the advancement that is more constriction?
It is. It's false idea of an advancement, right? Because,
right.
I mean, like, right now we have all this technology, right?
Yeah.
People have more anxiety than they've ever had human history. Isolation, depression, anxiety.
It's not working.
No. What we have now. All these other psychological conditions, right? It's more than it's ever been. And it's going to continue to keep going in that direction because the technologies are continuing to be built so that you don't do that.
Yep.
So that you don't have connection, et cetera, et cetera. Which is, I think, I mean, y'all can answer me on those little comment things if I'm wrong. I think that's part of what people enjoy about the podcast is that you're not just like, it's not just me speaking at you, but there's a whole bunch of connections here, and it's a group of people connecting on something and really kind of like unraveling it, you know? And
that's why we're the number one podcast in the world, and there really isn't a better podcast. Like,
hey,
you know, but yeah, we'll you know.
We'll be humble.
And I think that especially for spiritual people, there's the quote of Jesus that most people don't comprehend. And I think that I was just born with that piece in me already. The quote is basically, in order to follow me, you must hate your mother and you must hate your father. All right? And it's not real hatred. It means that you can't be so attached to them that they are your rulers. They are your masters.
Did you hear that voice?
Yeah, because people stay with that master for life. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I was going to say, that's one thing that really irks me when I watch people talk to their children. Especially as the children start to reach teenage years, because the whole, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I see it, that whole period of time is specifically intended for you to get through divorcing yourself from those two figures so that you can go out a life of your own.
And so you can figure yourself out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it irks me when I watch people because when I watch parents, mm-hmm. let me be specific, because they view that as an insult.
Because most parents don't see a child as an individual. Most parents see a child as an extension of self and therefore a reflection of their self. Which is why you have to, like Jesus said, hate them in order to be able to find your own self. Because what your parent wants you to be is a perfect reflection and extension of them.
Or, like, full circle, or they want their kid to be a proxy of the wound that they had from a missing parent.
Exactly.
So they need the kid to like them.
Preach.
They're developing themselves, though, too, like, through that process. Like, a lot of times the kids bring up stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For them to heal and, like...
Yeah, but not because many parents tend to be so focused on their expectation of who they want this individual to be mm-hmm. and what that means for me. Oftentimes, even though the child may be reflecting the issue, it's very few parents that are kind of wise enough.
Yeah.
To,
most parents aren't growing.
Yeah, to take in that reflection and do the work with it. Exactly. Yeah,
but the natural relationship is like the child's pushing that. Parent sometimes, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Because a parent isn't perfect, right? Yeah. So they need
they're
to get
from their child.
Exactly. It's a learning relationship.
You have to step out of ego as well mm-hmm. as a parent. to respect that the child is an individual and that you can learn from the child, because that's the problem with a lot of older people, period. They don't feel like they can learn from a person that's younger. Mm-hmm. You may tell them, you know, the fire is hot. They're like, what? You're 10. That doesn't matter. You know, but even the spirits have told us, like, the messages can come from anybody. You know, so you have to be, I think part of it is being open.
Open.
Just yeah. Open even to learn about.
And not be so concerned with your ego and how you appear, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to be like, yeah, apparently I have made a mistake. Or apparently, like, there is shit for me to learn, even though I'm supposed to be the parent. Right? And so it takes that openness, which is kind of bundled with being able to drop the ego, even if it's just for a little bit, to be able to be like, okay, maybe I have something to learn. But that's a big thing about, like, the hating of your mother and father, like what Carrie mentioned, like, you need to come to that portion of time where those people are no longer necessarily your master. And so, but most people never get to that point. You know, I even know people that in order for them to get along with their family, they moved, like, all the way across the world, and they have a whole separate who they really are, and then they have when they come visit home, who they pretend to be. And in that case, they're still under the mastery of the parents and the family, because they feel the need to be this certain way when they're there. And because of that mastery, they've ran all the way the fuck away, where I'll be who the fuck I am, and I'll be living in the next apartment next door on the duplex, okay? But a lot of people, they don't have that, you know? No. But, and most, a lot of people never develop that either. So that we have people that we know, like, 60 years old, still harping, 60, 60 some, still harping on what mommy did, on what daddy did or didn't do right. And also still kind of like, in a way, the best word I would say is like a slave to their parents and to the ideas of who they should be because of their parents. Yeah. And so they're still a slave unto that. And they're like 60 plus years old, like, you're going to be dead in 5 years. You know, and sometimes their parents are already dead and they're still, they're being a slave to the ghost of that person, meaning to the energetic impression that person left with them. You know, a lot of fish, they get, like, dropped off in the sand somewhere, right? Mm. And when they're born, quote unquote, there's no mother there and there's no father there. And they have no issues because there's no mother or no father. They never even heard of such things. Okay? But you will always go to your root. A lot of these fish will swim to exactly the place that their mother and father came from, live their lives there, then swim back to where they were born, drop off their eggs, and then swim back over there.
And if you've ever seen videos of it, because they have to swim upstream, the water's red with blood.
Oh, like, yeah, because of the fish color,
the salmon,
yeah.
The salmon, like, that's so salmon do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Swimming upstream, the entire river is blood because it cuts them to swim upstream. They'll fight that hard to go back.
Exactly. But even when they get back, they don't go looking for mommy or daddy. They don't know who mommy or daddy are. They don't have a reference point for it. Hmm. They never met mommy and daddy. All they know is that natural biology drives them back to the root of where their family started, for example. But even when they go back there, mommy and daddy might not be there, but they're unconcerned. They just know they're where they're supposed to be.
That's enough.
Yeah. So I think we conclude here on this episode. Yeah. Or any, you have something you want to say?
Well, just I don't know. This is is like a trippy thought. But okay, so if we started out in, I don't know where we started out, but let's say 3,000 years ago, there was no patriarchy, and so the dynamics were different. Now we're here. Like, I guess it has me thinking that things could change. But I guess I'm thinking about time, and it's not necessarily an evolution. It's not like we always go towards evolution. It's like we can devolve, we can evolve, we can devolve, and there isn't necessarily like a structure to it.
Yeah, it's not upwards going.
But right now, I think it's the rise of the feminine, the rise back of the feminine.
Yeah, and I think there is that, and I think because of that, okay? Because of that, what's happening is now you having issues finding men, because what people don't understand, it's always for one. If I'm for one, I must be against the other. If I'm for this, then I need to be against that. So if I'm for the women, then I'm against the patriarchy. Everything's the patriarchy. But it's not really the patriarchy because it's a co-joint effort. So if we're in the situation we're in now, it's not just because men made it that way. Women assisted in that process and empowered the process. And vice versa. And
live off the benefits of it.
And live off the benefits of it. And vice versa. If we were living in a matriarchy, men helped women create that matriarchy as well. It wasn't a singular option.
Gender doesn't protect you from being a fucker.
No, it really doesn't.
So the wars, the race wars, are between the two, not between different colored people.
No, not really. Are between the two. If you really look, like, those are low-level wars are between different colors of people.
Yeah.
Like, there's levels to war, right? And, okay? And
next podcast episode.
Yeah, and this war is more like, if we're for women, we have to be against men. If we're for men, we have to be against women.
Yeah.
No, like, kind of like what Carrie said, we can recognize, like, there's fuckers here and there's fuckers there, and we don't need to be for this one and against that one. We can actually be for both sides, and not in a way that's quote-unquote equal. Equal, how people think of it, they think of it in the wrong way. They think of it as, like, whatever I can do, you can do. That's equal. But equal is actually in harmony with who you are. So what some things that may be more in harmony for a feminine force may not be as in harmony for a masculine force.
You would never see Madrezi Lee trying to be Ogu.
No. She'd never be trying to be Ogu. She doesn't want to work in the office. Like, you know, Madrezi Lee is probably like the biggest hater of the feminist movement. She's like, who wanted to take me out of my house to go get a job? Exactly. Like, who thought of this fucking idea? I was living just nice, being taken care of.
I tell them, okay? I did not vote for this, okay?
However,
equal in no sense.
Exactly. However, on the opposite hand, okay, you won't really see Danto wanting to be taken care of.
Right. So, they work together in their own...
in their own way.
Back to the, like, if we could all be our true selves.
Exactly, in their own way. In their own way. And we're not saying, okay, because of, in order to communicate about it, we say, okay, Danto has a more masculine force because we associate that masculine force with that provider, war, hot energy. But it's not really about masculine or feminine at all. It's just that's what's in harmony with her.
Yeah.
With her, she can't sit around all day. That's going to drive her nuts.
So maybe, like, matriarchy also got it wrong. Like, maybe there's both. Always been a spiritual void. And that's the thing, is people don't know how to be their true...
authentic self.
But I'm just thinking about this. Like, isn't... like, what about, like, the war, like, of, like, love? Or, like, for love? Like, isn't that kind of, like, a gateway, like, access, like, of... because a lot of those qualities come from, like, that process of, like... actual, like, love.
No, true.
Intimacy, like, all those things.
It's true.
Like, the process for... and that's why so many people, like... you have to fight to get to it. You have to fight to, like, develop...
yeah, because where there's actual... where there's actual love... I agree. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Where there's actual love, you don't need to ask the man to be a provider, and you don't need to ask the woman to be a provider. Yeah, they naturally, they want to provide for each other.
Yeah, exactly.
The desire is already, like, it's a natural flow. It's like,
not a battle.
Yeah, it's not a battle.
Yeah.
But I think that part of the problem is because of those conditionings, most people can't ever get past that to get to the point of real love because they're already worried about that. Exactly.
What you war for is like, I'm not gonna, like, that's what, like, someone brings up in you, and then it's like you go to war on, like, yourself.
Exactly.
I'm gonna clear these things to be there for this person and show up more, or like get through this so that you can like see that person more clear, or like.
Exactly.
So it's like going back to, like, doing it because it's your choice and it's a true desire, as opposed to, like, I'm in a family structure.
Would you say that's of love versus obligation.
And would you say, like, the family unit as obligation is a form of government?
It is.
Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Really, it's actually a trickle down of government. Mm-hmm. Government created the family unit because government realized the family unit can help government grow, right, in what it wants as a society in its terms of advancement. So then government creates a family unit because that creates enough stability, quote unquote stability, for them to be able to then divert people's attention and getting them to act as a clog in the wheel to do what we need you to do to get where you need to go.
Hence the false advancement. Mm-hmm. Because the natures before, like the other cultures, like the Tainos, and people fell into their positions or what they what was required of them.
And a lot of it, like, going back to land ownership, it had to do with, if you parcel out the land, who owns the land?
Exactly. And a lot of it, you know, that piece of government, that's part of the reason why we have all the conditioning or stigma around, like, divorce being so horrible. Why? Because if suddenly people get divorced, now what's the next thing on their mind is finding their new relationship. So if you're concerned with finding your new relationship, can you really function in my factory, like, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you and it's also the same reason that the world works against love. Because if two people have love with each other, do you really want to come to work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. People who love each other, oftentimes, they're going to work what they need to work in order to get by whatever their standards of living are.
Right.
And then they want to be with their person. And they naturally, they don't want to be with each other 24/7, but they want to spend time with their person, which means I'm not at the factory.
Yeah.
Love is actually one of the most inconvenient things in the world, which is why it's so rare. Mm-hmm. Because the world is based on convenience.
How are you fighting for it?
Yeah. We did good on that one. We're almost at time here, too. So, as always, if you like the podcast, subscribe, share. We got a lot of shares this year, which I really appreciate, you guys. Continue sharing. iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm, or your favorite podcast app. If you'd like to donate to the oil fund, because, like, poor Care Bears' fingers and toes are falling off right now. You can donate via Cash App, $HectorSalva, or help@mysticalwork.com in PayPal.
Let's get those comments up. I need more comments.
We need more comments so that we can continue to address things.
Stats. We had great stats on everything. Yeah. Can't complain, but
more comments.
More comments.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's absolutely.
We need more comments.
And having said that, keep the faith. Many blessings. We'll speak soon.